The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent his messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you all from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Good and gracious Lord, may the words from my lips and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you as we go about our day today, this week, and always. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Some of you were around in the 90s, right? In the 90s, we saw a trend of what would Jesus do, or WWJD. A lot of swag going around. Remember that? The bracelets, t-shirts, Bible covers, you name it. And people would ask WWJD in determining their course of action. As followers of Jesus, we disciples ask ourselves that very question. And sometimes we don't have any idea or think we know the answer and find ourselves far from what Jesus taught and continues to teach his followers through word and sacrament. This was so even with Jesus' first followers. As we hear in Luke's gospel reading today, when Jesus rebukes James and John for asking if they should rain down fire on those who reject Jesus on their journey through Samaria to Jerusalem. Jesus had reached a turning point in his ministry, and he had set his face, or better translated, himself on the journey to Jerusalem to complete his mission, to reconcile the whole world back to God through his grace on the cross, in spite of his unjustly death on the cross. As he and his disciples left Galilee in the north, they had to travel through Samaria to get to Jerusalem. The Samaritans play the antagonist's role in this story's retelling of Jesus' ministry in the Gospel of Luke. But Luke's gospel also has many stories of the Samaritans as exemplars of the faith. You may remember the story of the Good Samaritan, or the Samaritan woman at the well, or the grateful Samaritan, the only one of 10 people cured from leprosy that returned to Jesus to thank him. The history between the Samaritans and the Jewish people ran deep and bitter, with the Jews having killed Samaritans 100 years prior, and Samaritans were viewed as outcasts because they intermarried and worshiped at what they believed to be the true temple at Mount Gennesaret. The Samaritans were therefore not welcoming of Jesus as he set himself on his journey to Jerusalem, away from what they believed was the holy temple. That made Jesus' followers, James and John, very angry. And in typical character, being known as the sons of thunder in the Gospel of Matthew for their short fuse, they asked Jesus if they should command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, like the prophet Elijah had called on God to do so in 2 Kings 1, verse 10 through 12. They were quickly reminded, what would Jesus have them do when he rebuked them for their violent response and reminded them that his kingdom was different and that he was different from Elijah. And he exemplified how he would have his followers respond differently to rejection. They simply went on to another village. Notice they did not disengage from the Samaritans, but attempted to engage with them on their way to Jerusalem. The rest of the story talks about the urgency and cost of discipleship and should be left for another sermon or Bible story. But I will address it briefly in the end. When responding to rejection of ourselves or our loved ones, our faith or a cause we believe in, rather than asking, what would Jesus do? We usually ask, or at least I do, what do I want? Or how do I feel? If we are honest with ourselves, we might think James and John's response to the Samaritans who rejected Jesus is rather good. For who doesn't want to command fire to rain down on someone who has rejected our beliefs about our Lord's view of us and those whom everyone is like? Missed a page. Or that which we value and hold dear. It hurts to be rejected, and it hurts to have those we love and hold dearly rejected. All of us at some point have been rejected or have loved ones rejected. Ask any mama bear how quickly they go from being gentle and meek, loving mama to Cujo, the rabid dog, on someone who has attacked our cub. And I don't just mean bears, mamas. We want to be heard, and we want to get even, and we want to protect what we love and whom we love. Remember the middle school jokes where people were cracking, including ourselves, at the expense of ourselves and our friends? We could cut a person down, and they would cut us down, and then we would cut them down again. But woe to that one who dared to pull out the yo mama crack on us. Remember those? They were waiting for us to command fire to rain down and consume them. Certainly they were. Today is no different. Only it seems that the good-hearted cracks have become mean-spirited put-downs. Turn on any news or social media app or listen to the children talk in the hallways and on the buses. Adults, along with children, are more like the sons of thunder than the followers of Jesus. I have to admit, when someone says something to my children, I'm ready to pull out my best cut down if I don't stop to pray and ask Jesus, what should I do? I have to be deliberate about it. I have to think about what I'm going to teach my children. And I can't do it by myself, because my sinful nature would want me to teach them to get revenge. Anyone who has lived beyond this decade can look at the way we have lost the ability to engage with others respectfully, to hear their side, and whether we agree with them or not, be willing to share our side. Once we have heard their side, regardless if they will have a change of heart or mind. Admittedly, there are people who cannot hear other people's points of view or reject you for disagreeing with them, whether it was back then or is now. However, sometimes we get wrapped up in wanting to prove ourselves right and prove them wrong, rather than letting the Holy Spirit work on our and their hearts when we pray and then share the truth in love. Granted, not everyone is like that, but our culture has seemed to embrace a social media firestorm that Jesus would rebuke and does rebuke. When you look at the Twitter wars and the Facebook comments, it's easy to see, like James and John, who were known as the sons of thunder, our desire is more likely to respond like Elijah to those who reject us, rather than asking the question, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Sometimes we even feel justified in commanding down the rain of fire from heaven if we feel like we are following Jesus. Yet this text reminds us that Jesus would rebuke our natural inclination to respond out of anger and teach us to move on peacefully and not disengage with people. To set ourselves toward Jerusalem, to take up our cross and share the good news of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for all, to share that with all whom we encounter, that is our biggest priority. In this gospel reading, in the second part of the story, he warns of the cost of discipleship, that it will take us where we have no comfort zone, that we have no other higher priority than to share the gospel of Jesus' grace with others by asking Jesus what we should do. If on the way we find Jesus or ourselves rejected, we are reminded to pray and ask Jesus. And remember that Jesus reminds his followers to keep on looking and moving forward with his analogy of the plow, where he says, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Rather than turning to look back, which in plowing, when turning back, would make you make a crooked line, we should keep both hands on the plow and follow Jesus to the cross, not distracted by what lay behind, but our eyes and our hearts open to where Jesus would have us to go on the road to Jerusalem, so that the good news might be shared with people who need to hear the good news, which in Luke's gospel are the poor, the outcasts, women, the marginalized, the oppressed. And in realizing how we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that when we come up for Holy Communion, hold on to the good news that in Christ Jesus crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sin, we are forgiven, we have newness of life, and we are sent out into the world to share that good news with others. Amen.